Some of the most thought-provoking research into how we think about healthcare is going on at Dartmouth College, and it's coming out of a game design lab. The role-playing game Replay Health uses physical challenges to get participants to think about how environmental and economic factors, among others, can affect individual health. Replay Health was developed at the Tilt Factor Game Research Lab at Dartmouth College. Its founding director, Mary Flanagan, joins me now with more on the project. Welcome to Weekend Edition.
Thank you so much, Brady.
Role-playing sports. Why a sport instead of a more traditional role-playing game where you have people sitting down and looking at healthcare and the trajectory of someone's life?
Well, originally we had talked quite a bit to folks at different foundations and different medical establishments about creating a simulation. Simulations are very popular. They're based on data, and we can, you know, see cause and effect very, very easily. But sometimes, you know, as a game designer, you begin to realize that systems are only one part of the equation, and that people's thoughts, opinions, feelings are really, you know, a significant part of how we see the world. So actually taking people from a kind of simulation experience into embodied experience where people are physically running around, trying things out, working with other people, it changes how we can identify with the problems and it changes how we think.
In this particular case, what exactly are people doing when they're out on that field and doing the embodied experiences?
Right. So players take on the role of various community members, and they go about their daily grind, you know, going to work, coming home, earning money, by tossing beanbags into particular monetary zones. So they toss beanbags, they gather some funding, but they also face possible life crises and illnesses based on their personal risk factors. So, for example, if someone's growing up in a very polluted neighborhood, someone works in a very toxic job or has a pre-existing heart condition or something like that. It's this kind of frenetic game where people are working together to try to raise the health of their community overall and see if they can make lasting effects.
In most games, the playing field is supposed to be level for all participants, and the key difference here is that it's not.
Right. The playing field is completely affected by one's own environmental issues, one's own risk factors, and it's quite interesting to see how playing the sport led to significant results in our study to show more lasting impact on players. After they do some rounds, players actually get to decide what kinds of health initiatives they might wish to start in their own community, just to see if that would affect the health of all. So there are kind of ways in which we can think about healthcare policy. People can bring these personalized experiences. Of course, it is role-playing. People may or may not identify deeply with the kind of character's situation, but by physically embodying play, they come closer.
One of the observations you made in looking at people playing the game is that the people who were directly involved had the strongest reactions. The people who were there but not necessarily playing directly didn't have those same reactions.
Yes, isn't that the most fascinating thing? The players who were playing understood systemic health failures causing the health challenges, and they really took those ideas to heart, and they had the most change in their attitudes and opinions and in their empathy towards others facing those kinds of crises. So yeah, being a player is very important because the act of playing brings us into a different space, and it can have more impact, but it can also have more complicated impact that we're only just beginning to understand.
It seems to me that just from a game design perspective, trying to keep the game complex enough to address the issues it's trying to address while also keeping it simple enough that you can pick up and play with a new group of people right away has got to be a difficult balance to strike. How do you get to that?
Lots of playtesting. What we do is we generally, as game designers, come up with a core system or a core set of things we think the player should be doing. And then we do a lot of playtests with various players to see, well, how much is too much? Who's the target audience? You know, will doctors? This actually was designed for people invested in healthcare policy and physicians. So, for example, doctors, people involved in lawmaking, people in local governments, and even the federal government to play. So that took a special kind of constraint. We knew we had to be able to play outside as well as inside, for example. So we knew the context of play. You know, we probably couldn't ask people to don helmets. So there are certain constraints that knowing our audience, knowing where this game might be played, you never fully know what's going to happen to your game. That's one of the magical things about being a game designer, is your games kind of take a life of their own. But you do know there are some constraints. And in fact, this game was played at the Society of General Internal Medicine and at the Harvard Medical School. I mean, it's been played in a variety of interesting contexts.
So you got a bunch of people at Harvard Medical School to play a game involving beanbags, and that's your job.
It is, and this is why we have to produce data that actually, to see if it really works, because it seems slightly frivolous, or it might seem outlandish, actually, to say, oh, you know, here you are in medical school, playing this beanbag game will significantly change your perspective. But in fact, you know, you would be surprised at what kind of creative acts. We don't often allow for creativity and embodiment to enter these intellectual spaces, and in fact, it's about time they did.
Well, I was going to say, isn't that the trajectory that we've seen as, in gaming as a whole? This used to be thought as purely recreation, that this was just something that people did on the side for fun. But you start to see so many video games, for example, being treated now as pieces of art. So in that same sense, you could see how it would be over time, you might start to see people taking a second look at a game like this and saying, well, there's more to it than simply just playing.
That's right. I mean, I think this is all part of a larger conversation, as you point out, with the idea that games, you know, games are older than human written language, right? We have examples of board games, and you could say that games, along with, for example, cave paintings, might be the oldest form of culture. So certainly as the visual and visual storytelling, visual narrative becomes more and more important, visualization becomes more and more important in the way we express complex ideas in contemporary society, I think games are finally entering that space and saying, you know what, this is a little bit, we haven't taken this as seriously as we might, seeing as it's a foundational aspect of culture. We thought of it as play games and distract oneself from one's troubles or something like that, but really, they really do define how we see problems and how we might work out solutions.
Sometimes the creators of games have insights into how to play that the rest of us just don't have. Any tips for somebody who does download and play that they can try and find their way forward?
I would say my advice would be to think carefully about going to the emergency room to solve all of your problems. Don't wait till the last minute to think ahead.
You heard it here first. Mary Flanagan, great talking with you. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. Bye.
Mary Flanagan is the Fairchild Chair in Digital Humanities at Dartmouth College and the founding director of Tilt Factor, a game research lab. You'll find more information about Replay Health at nhpr.org.